There was a lot more punks than there was 4 years earlier, but there was also as many posers. Posers were people that looked like punks, but they did it for fashion.
Welcome to SLC Punks, a Utah Jazz podcast brought to you by the staff of SLC Dunk. Now here's your hosts, Michael Lohman and James Hansen.
Yo, what is up, everybody? We're shaking things up because everything is shook up in the world. This is Milo, site manager of SLC Dunk. I got my main man, James Hansen.
Hansen, James, yeah, James, hoops nerd, whatever you want to call me, I'm here.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I've forgotten how to spell your name. has anything happened? What's going on, everybody? It's been an eventful few weeks. The Jazz are undefeated over their last 2.5, which I think is commendable.
Well, we meant
have
to do
not
a pod-
lost once.
We meant to do a podcast, but then a global pandemic broke out. That's my excuse.
Yeah, that's not on us. That's not on us. Like, we wanted to make this a regular thing and be back in the driver's seat. And then, the plot line to Contagion happened. So for everyone out there, first off, if you are a doctor or nurse listening to this, big ups to you. We salute you. Thank you for being awesome. And you really should be getting some sleep rather than listening to us. That's what really you should be doing. In other news, there's been a lot that's gone on. How are you even doing with this, James? Like, how are you? You working from home?
I'm working from home. I'm excited for a stimulus check to come. I'm going to use that on whatever I want. I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, working from home's pretty good. I enjoy working in the casuals. I enjoy, just not having to drive to work every day. I have an hour commute almost every single day in the morning, and not having that is nice. Although working from home is weird and gives you weird, like, connectivity feelings. Like, am I feeling as, like, I'm doing as good a job as I should be? Do people realize how hard I'm working over here? It's weird, but I like it. It's a lot like blogging. You really don't know like how things are received until you send it out there. And then if someone makes some annoying comment on the boards or whatever, then you realize, oh, okay. But it's pretty good.
So you have a lot more kids than I do.
Yeah, I have 4 kids. I am going to get 500 per. I might have added myself with my income. It's not, I do okay, but I am not, I am definitely qualifying for the stimulus. We'll just say that. But I am going to get one for me, the wife, and the 4 children. So,
which is crazy. It is crazy to me that you are like, you're going to possibly get more money than like Chase Bank.
Uh-huh.
Just your family is just going to get a bigger bailout. So, which is nuts. I've been 100% against big family in this country. Big family has been lobbying against us, has been trying to take our money, and mm-hmm. You know what, Mike, I'm just not going to take it anymore.
Which
is
I'm
going to have more family to be able to out big family.
I don't know if I'm pro big family either, as being a part of one. I know I'm I guess I'm not pro condom.
Man, we are already on a great start. Great start for.
But yes, I am pro big family in general. I enjoy being with my kids, but it's a fun situation. I like working from home. I don't like commutes, but I do sometimes wish that I could talk to people face to face. I'm a talker, so I don't know. But anyways,
It's been quite a.
I think we made a joke in our last podcast where I said, I don't know if we'll ever do this again. And then that almost was a
prophecy. And then we had a pandemic. where I was, so I'm curious because when the Rudy Gobert news broke, so I didn't have the preview or the recap, and it had been kind of a a crazy week for my wife at school, myself at work, and we're like, my in-laws were going to take care of the kiddo on Wednesday, and so I was like, okay, well, the guys got the game, and then I'll get home. Me and my wife will go on a hike around in the foothills in Boise, and then I'll get home a little bit after the first quarter ends, and then I'll catch up. And I got to the, and I could feel my watch buzzing with notifications, and I was like, man, well, I'm not, and in my head, I was like, well, it's because the game and everything. There's probably, you know, a lot of updates, and I have a lot of different like national accounts and different writers and people on our site set to automatic notifications, and it's a game night, so you know that's probably why it's, you know, feeling like that. And so got to the top of the we were at top of Table Rock here in Boise, and I was just like, I'm just gonna look at my phone, and that was when I looked at that, all of a sudden, I'm seeing all the tweets of like, the game hasn't started. There was somebody who ran on the court. Da 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 da. I'm like, what is going on? And then right when I, like right after I caught up, all of a sudden the tweet of the game is canceled. And I was like, what in the world? So I looked at my wife and I'm like, we got to get down. We got to get down this hill right now. We got to get all the way back to the car. I got to get home. Like something's crazy is going on. I have no idea why. You don't just like cancel a game. And all the other games were going. So it wasn't like the NBA was like, we're calling this. We got to get everybody out. And then right when I got to the car and we were driving back home, that was when the Rudy Gobert had tested positive for COVID-19, and it was like, oh my gosh! And I think for all of us, for the next like 72 hours, we were just like in the thick of it with the Utah Jazz being. Not just like the biggest story in the NBA, but the biggest story nationally and the biggest story internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from the amount of people who were coming to our site in that 72-hour span, I think eclipsed our entire span for the rest of the year up until March and to that point. And it was absolutely insane. And that's before we get into the drama in the back in the locker room. Were you watching? I can't remember. Were you watching the game live that night?
You know, I was like driving home. My hour commute sometimes gets me home a little bit after start time, so I'm usually like catching up. So I wasn't even home. You know, like this going live is usually when I'm driving home, and so yeah, I was like buzzing too. And I have my little phone on my little stand on my car while I listen to podcasts while I drive home, and start seeing these little notification tweets. And then, so I was like watching it as I was driving home, but I didn't get a comment or anything, but it was wild. Everyone's like, what's going on? Where, like, people are texting me, what's going on? And it was crazy. I am glad it's over. It feels like ages ago at this point. Yeah, it was a wild night. It took a global pandemic for the Jazz to be front and center on Sports Center. You know,
like it was one of those things where we're like, man, I wish they'd talk about us more. And then the minute this all broke, you're like, no, not like this.
Not like this.
Like I didn't. This is not how I wanted it. I didn't want it this way. Please no.
It was terrible. And you know, it was. I mean, it was just kind of fascinating, and it was obvious that Rudy Gobert had it, which kind of threw all the HIPAA things out the window where, you know, you need to protect someone, and they obviously didn't. Adrian Wojnarowski had no desire to protect anybody, that's for sure. And it was just crazy for the next 2 days, because then what happens is we all go to bed knowing that, because like right after the game for the Jazz is canceled, Shams tweets out the NBA season's been canceled. And everyone's losing their mind. And then video of Rudy Gobert touching mics gets out. And
oh, yeah.
And
I knew it was going to be a huge story because they had Andy Larson on CNN.
And they were playing
that. But Andy doesn't know because he's on the court because he can't leave. And they stayed there, you know, for half the night. And I saw that playing and I'm like, ah, man, all they're going to talk about is how he was so irresponsible and wasn't thinking clearly, and it was you knew it was too late.
It sucked. It really sucked. It was really unfair because everyone was like, no one was taking it seriously until Rudy Gobert got it, and then all of a sudden it like immediately felt real for everyone. It was like the moment where everyone's like, oh, that's kind of a big name to have it, you know? Oh, he can have it? Well, you know, and everyone just gets it, and it was just pandemonium online. And then the next day, we find out that Donovan Mitchell has it. No one else on the team has it, but Donovan Mitchell does. And Woj tweets out that Rudy Gobert with Cavalier, you know, Donovan Mitchell has coronavirus, and Rudy Gobert with Cavalier attitude is, I can't even remember the exact wording, but he kind of, and he wrote a story that his attitude had, he just wrote a cavalier attitude, kind of implying that it was his fault that Donovan Mitchell got coronavirus, which looking back now seems pretty incredibly ridiculous because we know how contagious it is and people can get it, you know, at any time. You can wash your hands and do all these things, but if you breathe someone else's air and you're around them, you're possibly contagious, you know? And so it was just, people were a little bit not, you know, people were informed, but not as like used to the thing as they are now. And it was wild. And Rudy Gobert took the brunt of it, and the Utah Jazz just kind of went quiet. Donovan Mitchell never retracted from things saying that there was a rift between the two. He never denied it. He never.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, what? Because we've talked a lot about it's hard because you don't want to amplify something and create your own reality. And that's I hate having this this pivot where you have to report the. And I think as a fan site, it puts us in a different regard because we want to report and be truthful and be as honest and be as transparent as possible on what is going on with the Utah Jazz. But at the same time, you don't want to create your own future by constantly, if there's a fissure in the locker room, you report on it, but you also don't want to like be part of the issue that starts making it wider. Am I even making sense at this point? Like, I've been wavering on when we were talking about it, because it's just like, you know, for one thing, like I can see why Donovan would be pissed, because, and especially with how much information we had at that point, like, because in our heads it's like, man, you know, he was being wildly if people were saying in the locker room they're having, you know, some problems with him kind of acting irresponsibly or not taking it seriously, which I could see, like, as a coworker, you'd be a little pissed about that. But at the same point, then at the same time, you're like, well, this is a really serious virus, and am I going to really be pissed about a guy who maybe in two days he might be on a ventilator? And he wasn't, thank God, like he had it very, very mildly and never had to be hospitalized or anything like that. But it, for me, like, I get that you might be having problems in the locker room, but it seemed like a really weird sticking point to be like, yeah, and this is what was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, that just seems like the weirdest one of all to take that. You might be mad that, you know, that video's out there of touching mics and you think that's PR reason. But the minute anybody gets a disease that's literally part of a pandemic and could be life-threatening because we don't have a good treatment for it, I think at that point, you're like, okay, you gotta take a big pause on the brakes there when it comes to this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have two kind of thoughts on it. I think there's two ways you can look at it. There's one where it's just like, I think Donovan Mitchell does deserve a little bit of, he has some trust equity, I would call it, where we know that Donovan Mitchell is a really good guy. We know that he's a good dude. And he's not someone to just like, you know, cause a problem or really have lots of problems with people in the locker room. We know that he's just not that type of player. So I kind of tend to lean towards Donovan Mitchell just, you know, being being his normal self, but also having a very difficult situation to deal with where you are frustrated with an opponent. Because we don't know what Rudy Gobert was doing behind closed doors. Maybe it was really messed up and we just don't know. Like, that's a very real possibility. And, you know, but there's also another part of me that says, you know, is Donovan Mitchell taking this advantage of this to, like, to kind of promote a future that he would like to see that doesn't include Rudy Gobert and saying, hey, I, you know, I'm sick of this situation and I, you know, this is my chance to really, like, just show my frustration with Rudy Gobert. I don't know. Even just saying that out loud feels pretty harsh. And I think I'd lean towards more that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert probably aren't the friends that we as fans, you know, kind of hope. You like, it's so much nicer if you know that, like, your stars are just like good buddies and they get along and they hang out and they're best friends and chemistry's great. When in reality, there's a lot of guys that aren't good friends and they just are on the same team. They get paid to be there and that's why they're there. And if you just aren't getting along with someone and they do something that really makes you mad, then you're probably likely to react how Donovan Mitchell acted. And I tend to feel like that's kind of what it was. But man, he hasn't, like, even one time, even up till today, really said anything about it. He hasn't put anyone's conspiracy theories to bed that, like, they are good to go and, like, patch things up or even like each other in any way. Like, you know, he's done the contrary. He's kind of just said, yeah, I was mad, I needed time to cool off. Well, how long is cool off going to be? Like, when are you cooled off? And so it's tough. It's not a good situation. We were talking about this before recording that, like, it's a very terrible point to just leave off of because we were left with the Jazz in turmoil, not playing well, not winning against good teams. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you have this relationship with a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. And the last time you talked was a fight and you haven't been able to talk to him since. It's like, yeah, it's really rough. And as bloggers, you know, we have to just, like, talk about what we see and what we hear, and what we hear is not great. But, you know, maybe things will get patched up between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. You know, it could just be that they just are like, you know what, you can be teammates and not be best friends. And a lot of teams have been able to do that. And let's see if the Jazz are able to do that, I guess. But it seems like, I don't know. And I don't even know when basketball is going to be back. No idea.
And it feels like a far cry from the, like, this team couldn't feel more further away than that Rubio team from 2 years ago where you're like, oh man, the locker room is so good. Even in January when they were winning, who was it? Ethan Strauss wrote the article about, like, how much fun it is to be in the Jazz locker room. And like, these guys love each other and love to hang out with each other. And they're constantly, it's just a lot of fun to be around these guys. And then the minute the losing streak started, it was like, that went out the window. And all of a sudden we have, like, Donovan hasn't been happy with, you know, with Rudy for a while. And the locker room has been kind of iffy about Rudy for a while. And all of a sudden you're like, what? When? Since when? What, you like 3 weeks? Like, are we just talking about, like, you know, two guys at work who are having a little beef, or has this been underpinning? And we've had other guys in the locker room, maybe like Rubio or Favors or other things, like being able to, you know, calm the waters on it. And so it just feels like there was a lot more. I think the other thing too is, as more things have gone on and the season has gone, not the season, but, you know, this whatever off season, I don't know what it is. As it's gone on, you hear, oh man, it's a lot worse than you thought it was. It's really real. There's definitely, definitely a fracture in the locker room. There's definitely, they do not, you know, are not are not in line with each other at all. And at that point you're like, okay, well that's not good at all. So what are we like, what's going on here? What are we doing? And I think you brought up a point, you know, before we can even start to even get close to saying, okay, you know, so, you know, what's the aftermath on this? Well, the Jazz were left at a really terrible cliffhanger, and to make matters worse, they are not they're not doing too hot, and the season's not going to be back. Like following the news on what's going on with COVID, so we're down for another quarantine of 30 days, and you look at other countries that are hard hit, like the United States. And they're not even close to being near to opening up their doors or bringing back, you know, large groups or having people larger than 10. And even if like life went back to normal, it's like, yeah, we're able to go back and to be in a restaurant, but that restaurant's maybe going to be max have like 30 people and everyone's going to be spaced wild apart. That doesn't really seem like conducive for a 20,000 crowd in an arena. And if basketball does come back, there's, you know, talks of, oh, maybe they all congregate in Las Vegas and then it's just streamed. But then at that point you're like, okay, well, let's think about how many people it takes to do that. How many, think about press. Just say there's no fans, no crowds, no nothing. And it's just the players and the coaches and their staffs. So all these people are wildly like congregated already. That's 30 teams. 30 teams of 15 players, their coaching staffs, their training staffs. Where are they all going to be? So we're already breaking a lot of rules there to have games. And then we haven't even talked about media. We haven't talked about broadcast. We haven't talked about all these other things. How I really do not see how that's going to happen.
You're going to have a lot of people being remote that aren't normally remote. You'll have Andy Larson and Tony Jones reporting from their houses, you know,
which is the same way like they're going to be living our dream where it's just like, yeah, we all saw the game on TV. We all saw like I don't know if there will be like a post game interview or a pregame interview. It's just a very, very slim skeleton crew of broadcasting. And I really don't even know what broadcasting is because, and what it does, like, when you have 10 people referees on the court, you are literally breaking the guidelines of 10 people in one place. Mm-hmm. Eventually
they'll have to just get to a point where that loosens a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. I don't even know. I mean, there's just so many weird things.
And when does that happen? Like,
do you have to have gotten it and be proven immune? We don't even know if you can be immune to it. Like, there's so many unknowns. Like, what we know now will change in like a month. And maybe in a month it will be better. Hopefully, but all signs point to probably not. And yeah, so, like, it's just tough to like even gauge. And so it's just bizarre. It's the weirdest situation I've ever lived through. There's just nothing like it and there's nothing to compare it to.
It feels weird to talk about sports during it because, and this actually feels really therapeutic to be really honest. It feels like something normal in a weird everyday, like prime example. There's a house on our yard, and in their front yard, there's a big tent on the front yard. And my first thought was, oh, you know, they're like, you know, having an outside camp out with their kids. My first thought is somebody in the house got COVID and they're trying to separate themselves from the rest of the family. That was my first thought. I was like, this is insane. This is insane. Like 3 weeks ago, they're like, I would have never had this thought of you know, like guy must have COVID, so he's in the front yard in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
It's crazy stuff, and it's stuff that if you'd have told me this stuff, you know, 5 months ago, I'd have been like, okay, it's just, it's bizarre. It is a post-apocalyptic situation a little bit. And, I don't know. It's eventually, so, I think we will get back eventually, you know, it's hard to like say when. It could be a year, like when the vaccine is good to go, or it could be like 2 months when the curve's flattened and, you know, the hospitals are very well equipped to just handle certain situations. I don't know, but it's crazy. And you can't have players getting it, and then you can't like have a situation where like a player hasn't gotten it and then all of a sudden they do, and now they're, you know, questionable for 2 weeks until their COVID symptoms go away. I mean, COVID might be a part of our lives forever. Who knows? There's no way to know. I don't know. It's crazy.
I've started preparing myself to, because and the reason I was doing this, I was like trying to walk through like, okay, what are the what ifs? What, like, so in July 1st, June 30th is the last day of a ton of contracts, both players and coaches. Players, you can work through the entire union to push back, you know, like maybe a month or two, if you think the season's going to be. But let's talk about coaches. Brett Brown, for example, was on the hot seat. Say the Charlotte Hornets or, you know, some other teams are like going vacancy and they're trying to hire a coach. And you're Brett Brown, you're like hell, I'm going to like push back my contract just to get fired and then I can't get a job. Like I'm going to go after this job. Or different people on staffs. Like, what if there's a lottery team that's trying to go after one of the Jazz's assistants?
Yeah,
but
maybe
you have that too. There's these weird things, just, and that's just one thing. And then you have the draft. All these players that all these college players that are expecting to get paid, or at least start their contracts in July. Summer league's dead in the water.
Yeah, summer league's gone.
It's gone. Even if you have all these people and these players congregate, you know, into one place, like, honestly, I think that's what the season is going to be like next year. I don't think we're having 200,000 people, not 200,000, 20,000 people in a stadium before there's a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And so
there's no way how can you?
Exactly. And so I think at some point, like, I think we're going to start, you know, slowly moving into this. But honestly, I think a lot of fans out there should start preparing for the fact that there's not going to be a champion. There's not going to be a champion for the 2019-2020 season.
I honestly think at some point they will play something and they're going to like have to, I mean, I'm sure they've been working on that night and day, because there's just no way they don't want to get that money from the TV at least. And man, those ratings are going to be like, those ratings are going to be pretty good, because everyone is going to want to see what it's like to not have fans and to hear the coach swear, you know, because there's just no blockage of that sound. It's going to be, I think there will be a champion. I mean, maybe we can talk about this some other time, but there's a few teams out there, if they canceled the season, that would be devastating. For LeBron James and them to not have a chance at a title is just so devastating. You know, for Utah, it sucks because our team just kind of fell apart at the
I don't think anybody, I think there are very few Jazz fans who are like, man, I thought we had a chance at it.
Not how it left off. It is, it was a poop factory for like a month. It was really bad. And you had angry players, you know, bad chemistry, all the crap. We could only beat bad teams because it's easy to beat bad teams when you have that level of talent, even if you're not, you know, I don't know. It's just really bad. But I do think at some point they will play the season. It may be a summer playoffs, you know, which would be kind of weird. But I do think they will. There's just so much involved, and And, you know, if they don't finish the season, then the salary cap is just going to dive, you know, and because of the money lost. And it's...
Can you imagine being the Knicks? Knicks are like, thought they were going to be able to splash in the free agency. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, by the way, the salary cap is $30 million less. Okay, bye. And
well, the pandemic right now, we're all experiencing what it's like to have a Knicks season right now, where just your season's over, you know, midway. It might as well just be canceled.
Yeah, this is like, oh, this is what it's like to be a Knicks fan.
Typical Knicks season, this right now for everyone. And though that sucks, you know, mm-hmm. I honestly, all joking aside, I think James Dolan does have coronavirus, which is terrible, and wish him the best, because you don't want to see anyone go through that. But man,
yep, I wish him a speedy recovery, and I hope that he sees that he doesn't really want to own a team. May he wake up from this and be like, man, I really should have spent more time to my blues band. That's what I should have been doing.
You know what? Why don't he just own the Knicks forever? I would rather the Knicks not become a destination for Donovan Mitchell to want to go to.
Yes, that's fair. So James Dolan can be, he can be that until like Donovan Mitchell's like second contract with the Jazz after his rookie extension. Yeah. But here's the thing that's kind of crazy, like for thinking about. So we have the NBA draft, and this is crazy because you're still seeing news about the NBA draft and guys declaring and whatnot. And normally, this is about the time where our draft coverage would start to be picking that up in conjunction with our playoff coverage. And I'm like, well, are we going to have the draft on time? Like, are we going to, like, because if you draft players, are you just going to have them sit in limbo? And if you don't sign them, then all of a sudden their agencies are going to have to keep them afloat. And if their agencies are trying to keep them afloat till what? When they can sign a contract and play when? November, December, January, whenever the new, because I honestly think the next season is going to be crazy experimentation because of the limitations they're going to be placed on. They're probably all teams are going to be in one place because they're going to, I still think travel is going to still be really hampered with a lot of this. And because it's, when we talk about flattening the curve, it's not just like, hey, let's take care of the first wave and then just let everything go haywire. Like, we have to take care of this like first and second. And when these experts are saying, well, you know, when you get into the fall, there's a chance that that's the next wave. That's when it, you know, is going to go around the globe again. And so, and that's going to be the time where you want to pack stadiums and whatnot. I don't think that's going to happen. So, so I think the NBA is going to, we might see a tournament to determine an NBA champion because they're not able to get started until November. And you have new teams and you have new players. Like there's a crazy scenario out there that Rudy Gobert could not be on the Utah Jazz next season. Yeah. There's a scenario where Mike Conley isn't.
It's going to be wild. It's all I can say. It is it is going to be crazy the next 3 months. What happens? I'm sure it'll just be way different than we even expect, or maybe it'll be fine. I don't know, but I don't know. There's things you hope for. Maybe the summer heat really helps out with the coronavirus and it really gets rid of it. And I don't know. There's so many wild things that you just hope, man, if this could just get figured out. But until there's like a vaccine and it's like, you know, polio that's been taken care of or whatever, then you're just always tentative, and you don't want to start and then cancel again. You don't want people filling a stadium and then going home again. That's a disaster. So it's
And that's what China just did. China tried to open everything up. They tried to open their theaters and their basketball league, and they did that for a week, and then they shut it down because they saw a quick spike. So there's no like going right back to normal for sports because
at least with crowds. Other,
they tried. It's not going back. Yeah. And that's, I think it's going to be, and this is telling how long it's probably going to be. I think it's going to be a huge achievement when you hear X team sold out.
Oh yeah.
I think that's going to be huge. And it's going to be both like, oh my gosh, we're on the other side of this. And then there's also going to be this same, like, what are they, insane?
Well, like, my thing will be, that won't surprise me as much, because I bet it'll just be when the tickets actually go on sale. To me, that'll be just a massive event, because people will be so ready to go see a Jazz game or whatever team you root for. They will just...
I think even when they go on sale, it's not even going to be the same way. Like, it'll be like, we're only filling to this much capacity. Like, we're going to be this much. And these are the seats that you're allowed to have. And blah, blah, blah. And I think that's where we're going to see a lot of this, changing. And that's why I'm like, that's why I think when there's a big sell, it's like, they were finally allowed to open up all of it. And this team, they felt comfortable enough for finally starting to do that. And this is a big win. And, and I think there's going to be a ton of disruption too. Like, think about broadcast deals. If you are all in one place and every team is there and all in one place, do you really think there's going to be, multiple broadcasts all there at once? Like, you don't want 30 teams broadcasts all there, because that's just a hazard if they were to start during the summer. And so I think that's going to naturally change. Like also an NBA League Pass is going to like go up, because you're going to be like, yep, it's on NBA League Pass and that's where it's at. And that's going to hurt a lot of local broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
The way the media interacts, like think about, and maybe you've gone through this too. Like, when you're out in public now, I at least feel insanely more aware of what is touched by a lot of people. And, and think about going into a locker room now that's not yours as a media member after this. Like, how is that going to feel even remotely comfortable?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. I would love to hear what Bowler Jack thinks, or what he's heard, or what they're doing. I'm sure they've talked about it, but man, right now it just feels so far away. Feels like the NBA just ended. It just feels like it's all gone. And it's like, all we're left with is watching Donovan Mitchell play Call of Duty, and that's what our lives are now.
It's so crazy where I think other writers, like, you see like every other basketball writer is like, well, I guess we're esports now.
Yeah. It's funny, like, a few days before this started, I went and interviewed, and we probably have to end here soon, but I went and interviewed the Utah Jazz gaming team, and even they went on lockdown, and there were people talking about how, you know, oh, well, at least like esports, they can play remotely. But people don't understand, like, Jazz gaming and like the part of the fun about the 2K league is the trash talking and the in-person stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not the same, you know, it's just not the same seeing those guys together. They call out plays together. They have a coach there who calls timeouts and things. It's a bummer. We lost everything, and it is a bummer. And I don't know. I hope it does come back soon. I really do. But
yeah, it's
likely soon, depending on what soon.
So,
is.
Depending on what happens, depending on what goes on, depending on, I think with this whole thing, and it feels just really weird because I think for everyone in the United States anyway, we know that we're 30 days away from an update. Like, we're on the indefinite timeline where it'd be like, oh, so-and-so has hurt their knee. We're like, we'll reevaluate. We'll reevaluate. Yeah. It was like, we'll reevaluate in 30 days. And, you know, we'll see from there. And, so yeah. I just anticipate we're going to be sitting here 30 days. And I think next 30 days, we're going to sit here and be like, we're going to see a lot of stuff. We'll start to see the curve flatten by that point. But there's a chance that it's just barely started to flatten by that point. And we're like, okay, 30 more days, y'all. Hunker down.
Well, we've seen the curve go slightly down the last 3 days. So let's just hope and pray, or whatever you do, you think good thoughts or whatever, that continues, because, man, it really sucks. The best thing for all of us is that this legitimately ends sooner than later.
Right.
It just sucks. It just sucks.
Yeah. We went from cheering for the Utah Jazz to tweeting about what is his name? The Tiger King, the Joe.
I listened to the podcast before this whole. I knew Joe Exotic before everyone.
Yeah,
I listened to the podcast a year ago. I knew about all this.
I knew about him four years ago when he was on John Oliver and he was running for president. He's like, I'm broke as shit. I owe money to this many people. I have two gay lovers for most of my life.
it's a good documentary, but I don't know. And it's been interesting their point of view, like with the Carol Baskin murdering her husband. She definitely murdered her husband. as someone who listens to a lot of true crime, she murdered her husband. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in that. Yeah.
He's either in a tiger belly or in a ditch in the woods. But she killed him, and that's that. Oh, by the way, another recommendation.
Yeah,
if you guys need,
watch Tiger King. Tiger King's good.
Tiger King's good. If you need another recommendation, if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings fantasy stuff, The Letter for the King was a very pleasant surprise. Very, very good. I recommend it.
I think, and you know, we got to be wrapping up here. I think with everything there, there's before we can start really diving into, hey, what is the future hold for the Utah Jazz? What does what's the roster going to look like next year? Who are the Jazz targeting in the draft? What were they doing? Is Mike Conley going to be on the roster? Who plays well with who? I think we got about four more weeks of having to wait and see if what's next, because if it's another 30 days before we can even stop this extreme social distancing, I think if at April 30th they're like, we're going 30 more days, I think at that point that's when you'll hear that will be time of death of NBA season 2019-2020. It'll be that's it. It's done. I'm already preparing for that. I'm already preparing for this is going to be that awkward. There's no champions this year. There's no nothing. It is what it is. And I think once the NBA is able to do that, I think they're trying to hold out hope that they can get revenue any way they can. But I think once they do that, then all of a sudden, I think there might be a feeling of getting back to normal, because then all of a sudden we're like, let's talk about the draft. Let's talk about free agency. Let's talk about when the new season's going to come. Push out the date and have people have something to look forward to instead of this never-ending limbo. And I think that's part of what's going back to normal after this whole thing. We don't know when it's going to be, but I think once the NBA is able to have a firm plan, and a lot of these other things are able to have firm plans, because it feels like everything from our lives to our jobs to when we'll be able to go to a restaurant again, when we'll be able to see our grandparents and visit them, I think all of this is all up in the air. And it's going to be a really nice day when it's not a, man, I wonder when that's going to be. It's going to be, hey, starting this time, this. And we have start to have dates to look forward to again. I miss having trailers. I miss having movie trailers to get excited about. I miss having new TV shows. Yeah. And when's that going to happen? I don't know. And or going to a play, going to theater. I like to do improv. And man, I can't imagine when the next time I'm going to be able to do improv. Like in front of an audience. When that's going to happen. And so there's just a lot of things that are changing. And so I think, it's going to be a while, but it is nice to talk about basketball in some semblance, mm-hmm. at least for a little escapism.
Well, let's end it here, I guess, but let's just hope there's not another global pandemic or earthquake, in between this one.
We didn't even talk about the earthquake. Oh my gosh.
That was wild. If you didn't live in Utah, that was the first time I've ever felt a legit strong earthquake. And I'm not even in Salt Lake. I'm in Clinton. It was like I woke up and the house was shaking. There's no other way to describe it. It is crazy. It is like it's wild and it's unnerving. And I like immediately jumped out of my bed and like went into a doorway like I think I heard on TV, but then I was like, my God. So then I start trying to run upstairs after it's kind of over. And, you know, it was weird. It was wild.
I saw that and I was like, man, please don't be related to Yellowstone. I don't need that energy right now.
I can't remember.
I don't need a super volcano. I don't need any of that. And it was just like one of the small fault lines in Utah. But everyone in Idaho has been taught since they were like in grade school. That they're about the super volcano that's in Yellowstone. And it's just like, one of these days, there's going to be an earthquake and it's going to be the big one.
Well, it'll end the world if that goes off.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, Idaho. Oh, come on. Come on. At least like let us have the slow death. At least here it comes. There's just like, all of a sudden the earth is like, no, I ain't going to do that. Let's just call it. Like, please do not mercy rule us at this point. So, with everything, if you're out there, for our listeners, if you're working in a hospital or anything, you guys are the real MVPs right now. My cousin is an ER doc and just hearing the stuff that she's like the long shifts, the late nights, the hours that she's putting in, I'm thank you to all of you out there who are doing that, or police, or you're working in a grocery store, you're working at the gas station. You guys are essential. Like, thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing, because you're doing a huge, 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 huge service for all of us. And we are indebted to you and pray that, whoever you work for or our government, definitely rewards you after your bravery during this time for all that you're doing and being out there. And for all of you who are missing basketball, we're with you. We hope it's back. We hope the Jazz are back and without the fighting in a locker room. And we hope that we're not going straight into an off season and straight into a draft with no resolution on a season where a lot of things, crazy things can happen. So you got anything else, James?
Nope, that's I just agree.
Peace out, y'all. Take care. Be safe. And how about you wash your hands, you filthy animals?
Talk to you later.
We'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Peace, y'all.